in Luke chapter 5 this morning. For our guests, just so you know, we're going through the Gospel of Luke, so we're doing this verse by verse, passage by passage. And we have found ourselves here in chapter 5 of Luke's Gospel. And I want us to again look at the occasion where Jesus heals a man that was full of leprosy. This incident begins in verse 12 and really goes down to verse 16. Last week when we were together, we were looking at this passage. We saw and how this man approached Jesus. That he came to him in a brokenness of his heart. We saw that from his very posture of falling down. We saw that also in his very petition. We saw that in his perspective and how he approached Jesus. We saw the compassion of Jesus in answering this man's request. We saw Jesus' cleansing of this man and what that would mean for him. And I want to continue that this morning. I want us to begin by honing in on verses 14. We're going to look at verses 14 through 16 this morning. Where after Jesus has healed this man, he says in verse 14, he ordered him to tell no one. But go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing, just as Moses commanded as a testimony to them. But the news about him was spreading even farther, and large crowds were gathering to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. But Jesus himself would often slip away to the wilderness and pray. Beloved, I want to hone in here beginning in verse 14. Because I want us to see what Jesus says to this man after he's cleansed him. Because we need to recognize that something very significant has happened here with this cleansing. It is actually going to set us up for the next section that we're going to see in verses 17 down to verse 26. Because of this healing and what Jesus is asking this man to do, we're going to see some folks show up that haven't been there in the Gospel of Luke yet, focusing in on Jesus. So let's look here in verse 14 and just see two of the overall things that Jesus now asked this man and really told this man now to do. The first thing, if you look there in verse 14, he ordered him to tell no one. Here's a man who's full of leprosy, who's immediately been cleansed of this leprosy by the word of Jesus, just saying, be cleansed. And the first thing Jesus tells him after that is, don't tell anyone. In fact, let me just fill in some of the details from the Gospel of Mark and from the Gospel of Matthew that also speak to this very same event. In Mark chapter 1 and verse 43, it says there that Jesus sternly warned him. Sternly warned him. And here's what he said to him. When you look at Mark 1:44 and you look at Matthew 8:4, here's what Jesus said to him. See that you say nothing to anyone, that you tell no one. That's what he ordered him to do. The question we really didn't have to ask is, why? Why is this? In fact, this is not going to be the last time we're asking this question. Because when we get over to Luke chapter 9, if you look over there for just a moment. In Luke chapter 9, after Jesus has sent out the 12 to go out and preach, and they come back, Jesus begins to ask them some questions. Who are the people? Who do they say that I am? And they answer there in verse 19, John the Baptist, others say Elijah, others are saying that you're one of the prophets of old who has risen again. So he says to them, who do you say that I am? And Peter answered and said, the Christ. You are the Christ of God. Now you would think again at that moment, Jesus would say, well, go tell the world that. But he warns them in verse 21 and instructed them not to tell this to anyone. As he says in verse 22, saying that the Son of Man must suffer many things, be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised up on the third day. But what I want you to see from that, and even as we're going to look back in chapter 5, Jesus orders this man not to tell anyone that it mainly has to do with what is his focus. What is the focus of his ministry at that particular time that he is striving to fulfill? He's trying to fulfill his mission. And at this particular time, here in Luke chapter 5, we know what his mission is. We know that is what he's focused on, because he told us back at the end of chapter 4 in the Gospel of Luke, when he was in Capernaum and they were trying to keep him from going away from them, remember what he said in verse 43, and we see in verse 44, he said to them, "I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for I was sent for this purpose." So he kept on preaching in the synagogues of Judea, throughout the land of the Jews. So what we're finding here, when we come into chapter 5, that what Luke is telling us, that during this time that Jesus was going about, and he was traveling from city to city, and he's been preaching in the synagogues there, and he's been preaching the kingdom of God to them, as that was the purpose at this time that God had for him, and what he was doing. This is why Jesus would tell this man, don't go tell anyone. And the reason why that is, beloved, is because over in Mark chapter 1 and verse 45, Mark tells us what this guy did. Verse 45 of Mark 1, he says, "But he went out and began to proclaim it freely, to spread the news around to such an extent that Jesus could no longer publicly enter a city, but stayed out in the unpopulated areas, and they were coming to him from everywhere." Here it is. Remember, Jesus is in the middle of this portion of his ministry, and he's focused on going from city to city to preach the kingdom of God. But this guy, after this healing and this cleansing, goes out and spreads this news, and this news spreads so far, and the effect of it is now Jesus can't go into the cities as he was doing. Here's what I would say to that, for a lesson for us to learn from Jesus. That Jesus here is demonstrating to us a very, very valuable lesson of discipline. He is staying disciplined on his task and on his mission. Discipline on what God at this point in time in his life in ministry has called on him to do. And this is how he wants us to do it. Beloved, it is tempting for us to get pulled away. For us to get pulled away from the simple, disciplined, straightforward task that God has given us to do. It is tempting for us to try things that may give us quicker success as we would see it, or as others would see it. But notice what this does for Jesus. This complicates his life. This complicates his ministry and his task at hand. Because this man did not follow through on this portion of what it is that Jesus had asked him to do. And he should have, so that Jesus would have been able to stay doing what he had been doing and going from every city, and as you go into the cities, go into the synagogues and keep preaching to them, proclaiming to them the kingdom of God. So he ordered him to tell no one. But now notice something else. Go back to verse 14 of Luke 5. Because what's the second thing now that Jesus commands of this man? That is, what did Jesus want this man to do? If he didn't want him to go tell anyone, that is, anyone out here around them, what did he want him to do? Well, look again in verse 14. "But go, show yourself to the priest, make an offering for your cleansing, just as Moses commanded, as a testimony to them." Now I want us to think about something for just a moment. We have already seen, especially in Luke chapter 4. And Luke chapter 4 is where Jesus begins his public ministry. Remember, he went out into the wilderness. He was tempted by the devil. He's been anointed by the Spirit of God. He's full of the Spirit. The power of the Spirit of God is upon him. He begins to preach and teach. He begins to do miracles. But if you recall, as we did all of that in Luke chapter 4, and especially in Capernaum, where we're told that there were many people with the various kinds of diseases and sicknesses that were brought to him that he healed. There were many people that he was casting out demons. But if you remember, at no time during any of those miracles did he tell anyone, go to the priest. Go show yourself to them. Tell them what it is I did. Let them see what it is that has happened to you. Well, why is that? What's the reasons? Well, when we look back in our verse, in verse 14, I think there's two reasons. The first one is for this man, because unlike healing someone of a fever like he did Simon's mother-in-law, or all the other various illnesses that he would have healed there in Capernaum and throughout his travels, none of those required a person to go and present themselves to the priest. None of them were talking about it needed to be an investigation to happen so that this person could be officially accepted by them and welcomed back into the community. Leprosy, as we will see, is something that was different than all these other diseases and sicknesses. That's why Jesus says to him there, go, show, that is, give the visible proof. Show them what has happened to you. And notice what he says there in verse 14. Show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing, just as Moses commanded. That is, let them go. Let them do the examination that they need to do. Follow the protocol that's been given by Moses in regards to this kind of healing and cleansing. The protocol that we can see, if you want to, for just a moment, look back in the book of Leviticus and go to Leviticus chapter 14. You want to see what Jesus was asking of this man to do and what was going to happen? Well, you look back in Leviticus chapter 14, and in verse 1 it says this, and the Lord spoke to Moses saying, this shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. Now he shall be brought to the priest, and the priest shall go out to the outside of the camp. Thus the priest shall look, and if the infection of leprosy has been healed in the leper, then here's what's supposed to happen. The priest shall give orders to take two live clean birds and cedar wood and a scarlet string and hyssop for the one who is to be cleansed. The priest shall also give orders to slay the one bird and the earthen vessel over running water. As for the live bird, he shall take it together with the cedar wood and the scarlet string and the hyssop, and shall dip them in the live bird in the blood of the bird that was slain over the running water. Shall then sprinkle seven times the one who is to be cleansed from the leprosy, and shall pronounce him clean, and shall let the live bird go free over the open field. The one to be cleansed shall then wash his clothes, shave off all his hair, bathe in water, and be clean. Now afterward he may enter the camp, but he shall stay outside his tent for 7 days. And it will be on the seventh day that he shall shave off all his hair. He shall shave his head and his beard and his eyebrows, even all his hair. He shall then wash his clothes, bathe his body in water, and be clean. Then on the eighth day, take two male lambs without defect, and a yearling ewe lamb without defect, and 3/10 of ephah of fine flour mixed with oil for a grain offering, and 1 log of oil. He presents that, and the priest now who pronounces him clean shall present the man to be cleansed in the aforesaid before the Lord at the doorway of the tent of the meeting. Then the priest shall take one of the male lamb and bring it for a guilt offering with a log of oil, present them as a wave offering before the Lord. He's going to slaughter that lamb there in verse 13. He takes some of that blood, he puts it on his ear, on his thumb, on his big toe. He offers up another offering, a burnt offering as well, if we were to continue reading all the way down to verse 20. So I want you to see, when Jesus says, go, show, and make an offering to the priest, this is what the priests are looking to do. So this is not a one-day event. This is going to take at least a week before this man is officially going to be declared clean by the priest and the leadership that is there. This is very important when you think about, beloved, Again, what they thought is they thought, and what they're seeing from this in Leviticus and other places, is that this made this man unpresentable to God. So Jesus is asking this man to go do this, in one sense, so that this man can be welcomed back into the community and following through and now being able to be presentable to God in that way. But there's a second reason why Jesus does this. And I think it's the main reason why Jesus does this. And it comes back to what it is that Jesus is going about doing. He's in the process, again, of presenting himself to his people. He's preaching the kingdom of God to them. He's doing these miracles. All these things are happening. And just think about this. As we look back in Luke 5 and in verse 15, the news about Jesus, that is about his message and about his miracles, are spreading and spreading and spreading. And he describes it there in verse 15 in such a way that it's just getting wider and wider and wider. It's not hundreds coming. It's not thousands coming. It's tens of thousands are starting to show up where Jesus is. And all this explosion happened after this miracle. And here he is preaching the word of God, focusing on the kingdom of God, saying the kingdom of God is near. Here's how you enter into the kingdom of God. You need to be prepared. And as he's preaching that message, here he is performing such miracles that demonstrate the kingdom's presence, the kingdom's power, as described in the Old Testament. But now think about something again. Think about who we haven't seen to this point in the Gospel of Luke. Who has Jesus not been dealing with? The religious leaders. He hasn't been dealing with them. We have not heard in Luke's gospel anything really from them in this regard. From the religious leaders back in Jerusalem to those throughout the whole land. But guess what? That's all about to change because of what Jesus tells that man to do in verse 14. Because he tells him, go to the priest. He's saying, go back, travel back to Jerusalem, and I want you to go back and you present yourself to these men. You present yourself to these Pharisees and the priests and all that are leadership are there. And I want, as you show yourself to them, prove what it is that has happened. Follow through on what the law of Moses has commanded that for them to do. Because you see, after this, though they haven't been around, they're now around. Look down in verse 17. One day he was teaching, and there were some Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting there who had come. Notice where they come from. Every village of Galilee, Judea, and from Jerusalem. It wasn't just one or two show up. Now the whole crowd are starting to show up. I mean, they're coming from Jerusalem. They're coming from Judea. They're coming from Galilee. The Pharisees, the scribes, they're now showing up. You want to know why they're there? Because this man went back and showed himself. We're going to see. In fact, once they arrive, they're there. Look down in verse 30 of chapter 5. The Pharisees and the scribes, they began grumbling. They're listening to Jesus. They're around Jesus. And they're grumbling about Jesus and what it is that he's doing. Look over in chapter 6, verse 2. But some of the Pharisees says, why do you do what is not lawful on the Sabbath? Look down in verse 7. The scribes and the Pharisees of chapter 6 were watching him closely to see if he healed on the Sabbath so that they might find reason to accuse him. Think about this. Remember when he was in Capernaum, he did a miracle of healing and they didn't say a word about it. All this time when he's been doing this, because these guys haven't been around, but when this guy shows up in Jerusalem and presents himself and says, I was a leper and Jesus cleansed me, it got their attention and here they come. And we're going to talk more about that as we go into verse 17 down to verse 26. Jesus said for this man to go and to show and to make the offering. And notice again, go back to verse 14 as a testimony to them, to the priest, to the leadership that is there in Jerusalem. He's saying, go and show yourself as a testimony to them. You see, beloved, there's going to be at least three questions that they're going to want answered. The first one they can answer pretty easily, because more than likely the priests have declared, they were the ones who declared this man unclean. And that is, the first question is, were you really a leper? And the answer to that would have been yes. A second question they would have been asking when he showed back up there is, has your leprosy been cured? And again, he's going there to do as Moses commanded, following through on all that. They would have come to the conclusion after going through everything that God's word said, and they would have said, yes, this man was a leper. This man is now cured. He's gone from unclean to clean. Here's the third question they would have asked. So what were the circumstances for this? How did this happen? If you remember back over in the Gospel of John, in John chapter 9, when Jesus heals a man that was born blind. And remember, they bring him to the Pharisees. And remember, they start asking questions. Who did this? How did it happen? Were you really born blind? They bring his parents in. They ask him, is this your son? Was he born blind? Yes, that's our son. He was born blind. Yes, he can see. The answers to those first two questions is yes and yes. But the third question, well, then how did this happen? Tell us the circumstances. And that's when they said, well, we don't know that. You ask him. And remember, they come back to him again and they ask him, how did this happen? Who did this? Jesus did this. How did he do it? I've already told you how he did it. These are the same kind of questions they're going to be asking this man that was full of leprosy that now shows up in Jerusalem. One that they had declared unclean, and now they're declaring he is clean. And just think about that. As they're there, this man that was formerly a leper, full of leprosy, he's sitting there, and what he's saying to them and what he's showing them in regards to his body. He says, oh, here's what I can tell you. I can tell you I saw Jesus. And when I saw Jesus, I went to Jesus. And here's what I asked him. I said, I know you have the ability to cleanse me, but will you cleanse me? And he said he would. And all he said was, be cleansed, and I was cleansed. Who is this? It's Jesus of Nazareth. Now think about that, and think about this also as well. Keep in mind, there's some significant background information that's going on at this time when Jesus asked this man to do this. When this man shows up there, and he tells his story of what happened, and he shows them what happened. There's three very important pieces of information you need to know. First, since Moses wrote these regulations that we read there in Leviticus, there had been no recorded incident of anyone in their history among the people being healed of leprosy in that way. Yes, we look back in the Old Testament, you see Moses was. He stuck his hand in his bosom. He pulled it out. It was leprosy. Put it back, pulled it out, and it wasn't. We know his sister Miriam also was struck with leprosy by God, and God healed her. But all that was before the writing of these regulations that we see in Leviticus. We also know there's Naaman the Syrian that was healed by the prophet. But again, this is not one that's an Israelite. But even just hearing this man's story, they should have thought about Moses. They should have thought about Miriam. They should have thought about Naaman. And at the very least have said, this man Jesus must be a prophet. But what I want you to understand, when they're coming back and going through this process, this is something they've never done before. None of the leadership, none of the priests have ever dealt with this before. We should have been telling them right there, there is something special going on here. Something very special that is going on here. And actually, we're going to see, should have told them more than that. Because the second very important piece of information as this man goes back is this. Because of the way Old Testament scriptures speak sometimes about leprosy and those that were struck with leprosy, and because there was really no one that had been cleansed of leprosy, here's what they thought. A person with leprosy was considered under the judgment of God due to some kind of sin, some kind of special sin. So if Jesus is cleansing people of leprosy, then he has the authority to cleanse someone of sin. That is, he has the authority to clear someone himself from going unclean to clean, from someone, the implications of that, the stigma that came from that, that said, you're not presentable to God, to now you are presentable to God. How? Just because Jesus is able to say under the authority of his word, you're cleansed. This is part of what they would have had. So again, just that alone should have been telling them something special is going on here. Something different. This is the third piece of information. Because no one had been healed of leprosy, and because of what they thought about the implications of being under the judgment of God, listen carefully. Here's what they thought. That a leper being cleansed would be a sign of the Messiah. That only the Messiah could do this. This would happen during the Messianic times. They had elevated this particular healing and cleansing to such a point that they said, when lepers are being cleansed, that's a sign the Messiah is here. And now here it is, a man standing before them. Remember, lepers to them were really considered dead men walking. Rabbis wrote a lot back then about sicknesses, about ailments. They spoke a lot about those things. When it came to leprosy, nothing. And the reason why they said nothing is because they knew they could do nothing. Their prescription was pray. Pray for this man. Pray for this woman who's eat up with leprosy. But what they had seen is, no matter what they prayed, no one had ever been cleansed of it. And now here's a man standing before them saying, Jesus of Nazareth, who has healed people of all kinds of diseases and sicknesses, who has cast out many demons, he cleansed me of leprosy. And you can testify to that. You can see it. And all he said was, I'm willing, be cleansed, and he's cleansed. And he can say, look at me. You can look at me. Look at my body. Examine me all the days. You'll see there's no sign of leprosy that is there. You are the ones who declared me unclean, and now listen, you're declaring me clean. What does that tell us? What should that be telling these men? What should that be telling the leadership? He's the Messiah. He's the Messiah. This is why Jesus sent this man back. You see, one of the three miracles that were expected of the Messiah was being able to cure leprosy. In fact, if you remember, when John the Baptist is in prison, and he sends back his disciples, and he's to Jesus says, are you the expected one or not? Are we supposed to be looking for somebody else? Do you remember how Jesus answered him? Look over in Luke chapter 7 for just a moment. Verse 19 says, summoning two of his disciples, John sent them to the Lord saying, are you the expected one? Or do we look for someone else? And when the men came to him, they said, John the Baptist has sent us to you to ask, are you the expected one, or do we look for someone else? And at that very time, he cured many people of diseases and afflictions and evil spirits. And he gave sight to many who were blind. And just think about that. I mean, this is what's going on. He's curing people of so many of these types of diseases and afflictions, evil spirits. But he says, you go back and report to John what you've seen and heard. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed. And the deaf hear, and the dead are raised, the poor have the gospel preached to them. It will be undeniable to you, John. You just go tell him lepers are being cleansed. He'll know the Messiah's here. They should have known the Messiah's here. The Redeemer's here. The Savior's here. You see, beloved, that's why when we look back in Luke 5 and we look at verse 15, that the news about him now is spreading further and further. Because remember, as we saw in Mark 1:45, this man went out and started telling everybody about what had happened. Well, they understand this. They understand all that information I just gave you. They understand this. And here it is now, someone saying this. This is what causes now the crowd to explode even more. Because of this, and for the leadership of the Jewish people, here's what Jesus is doing. He's causing them to make a decision. That is, he's drawing them out to him. He's drawing them out to him. And he's presenting himself to them in a way that they should be concluding rightly about it. But he's saying, you guys are going to have to make a decision and come to a conclusion about me. But for them to come to the right conclusion, as we've talked about, would mean they would have to truly repent to believe in him. Repent. See themselves as unprepared. See themselves as outside the kingdom. And their only hope is through him. But beloved, here's what I want you to gather from that. That's the ultimate decision all of us have to make. You have to come to a conclusion about Jesus. You have to come to a conclusion about Jesus. You're either going to be all in with Jesus, or eventually you're going to be all out with Jesus. As we see with the crowds, some will hang out for a while, maybe for a good while, until they come to a crisis point. And at that point, they were either going to go with Jesus and what he teaches, or they were going to walk away. The same with the Jewish leadership. And some here today, you may be like them, that they hear about these things and they say, well, we want to observe, we want to investigate, we want to ask some questions, we want to think some more through this, we want to see all of this. But at some point, you got to come to a decision. You got to come to a conclusion. I'm either all in or I'm not. There will come a moment of truth whereby you need to fully embrace Jesus as your Savior, as your Lord, as your Master, or fully reject Jesus. Don't bother with anything he has to say or to do. There really is no in between. There really is no in between. And when you look eventually, as we go through the Gospel of Luke and you go through the other Gospels, you see that that's what ultimately it comes down to. And this is what Jesus has done in verse 14 when he tells that man, go and show yourself to the priest as a testimony to them. Because now it has their attention. It has their attention because they can't deny it. They can't deny what has happened. But there's one last thing I want you to see this morning. We look down in verse 15 and 16. There's another lesson I want us to learn from Jesus and the way Luke presents this to us. He presents it to us here in verses 15 to 16 as a contrast between Jesus and the crowd. That the crowd, the news about him, here's what's happening. It's spreading further and further. And the crowds are gathering to hear him to be healed of their sicknesses. That is, with this miracle of the cleansing of this leper and what that could potentially mean for him being the Messiah has exploded Jesus' ministry. There are more people. And with more people come more demands, come more needs, more opportunities to teach, more opportunities to heal and care for people. Yet what I want you to see is, when you look at verse 16, where it says, but Jesus himself would often slip away to the wilderness and pray, I want you to see that Jesus didn't change. That is, he didn't let the demands and the increase in opportunities change his priorities. If anything, as the demands and the people and the opportunities to preach and to teach and to care for people, as those things increase, the more we need to be alone with God increases. You see, the opportunities here are increasing. But as I just read to you a moment ago, the opposition's about to increase. And Jesus knows this. He knows in sending that man what's going to happen. He knows they're coming. And they're going to come at first and sit quietly and just watch him. Then eventually they're going to start asking him questions. But of course, Jesus has an advantage over them, because while they're just sitting there watching and they're not saying a word, he's reading their thoughts and their mind. He knows what's going on in their heart. We're going to see that when we get into the next section here in Luke 5. They haven't said a word. They're just reasoning in their heart about something he said. And Jesus responds to their reasoning in their heart. No, beloved, as the people increased, problems increased. I think back to the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 6, as the people were increasing in the church, problems began to increase about the care and the needs. And as the cares, needs increased, complaints increased. But they remained focused on prayer and the word. As opportunities increase, opposition will increase, even in our ministry. And beloved, prayer needs to increase. Because Jesus, knowing this, is in his humanity, is going to need greater strength, greater wisdom, greater endurance. And just think about us, especially for us, that we're weak and sinful in our flesh. So as life increases, as demands increase on you, follow the example of our Savior in the sense of continue to make prayer, or you need to make prayer a priority. Your dependence upon God, your love and communion with God, your time with God in his word and in prayer. He says he would often slip away to the wilderness and pray. We need to be often getting away to pray. That is a lesson we need to learn as well. Just kind of summing this up. Stay disciplined. Stay disciplined on the task God has for you, as we see Jesus doing. Secondly, bring people to a decision point. That is, to a point where they need to make a conclusion about Jesus and they need to be all in. At some point you tell them, you've got to get off the fence. And thirdly, stay disciplined in prayer. Get off by yourself with the Word of God. Stay focused. Stay fervent. Don't let things get to pulling you away one direction to another. Well, beloved, this was a significant event that happened here, especially when what Jesus asked that man and commanded that man to do, in a sense, it's going to change everything moving forward. Now with the Pharisees and the scribes and the leaders. sitting there day after day, listening. And as we saw in chapter 6, verse 7, they're watching him closely. And they're not sitting there unbiased. They're biased already. They want to accuse him of something. See, ultimately, really, they've already made their decision. Because what he said about salvation, what he said about entering into the kingdom, went against what they said. And that's why they were going to need to repent, so that they could be right with God. Oh, beloved, don't let pride keep you from God. Don't let it keep you from redemption, from being made right with God. I want to ask you to bow your heads in prayer for just a moment.